good mark.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Thursday. Oh, the weekend's so close.
So close. Sniffing distance. But Edwina Bartholomew has come out with a very outrageous call. And it's a bit brave because I think a lot of parents would probably disagree with her. She's come out and said that she doesn't like the Wiggles.
Which incarnation?
I don't know. She doesn't like the new modern Wiggles, which is, you know, she doesn't mind the original, but just doesn't really like them. Not a fan of their entertainment, doesn't like their style. And all these people are commenting saying, oh, your children, they're missing out on, you know, such a great experience. No, they're not. If you don't like the Wiggles, you don't have to go and play. You don't have to play them.
I hate to break it to you, Edwina. The Wiggles aren't for you.
They're for the kids.
They're not for you.
Yeah. Potato hut. Yeah.
If you were standing front and center at Ticketek, sleeping out to get tickets to the Wiggles, there's something gone wrong. Like, they're not for you. They're for your children. They're not meant
to. Yeah, so she said she's just not for her.
In Edwina's defense, for me now, my daughter was mad for the Wiggles. Now with my son, Mac, the 4 years difference, Mac, the love of the Wiggles isn't there quite as strong. Honestly, Emma Wiggles' departure from that franchise has set it back.
You reckon so?
Oh, in the biggest way.
See, I'd like to, you know, Edwina's got this thought about the Wiggles. I'd like to blow up Cocoa Watermelon. If I have to hear
Cocoa Melon.
Cocoa Watermelon.
Cocoa Melon.
Yeah,
I was watching it last night.
Mate, I mean, seriously? If ever there was a bigger racket, whoever came up with that, call the cops because we've got a robbery.
Let's just stick with Bluey. Bluey for the win. Bluey's, I think, that doesn't annoy anybody. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't have kids, but I guarantee the Wiggles would annoy me too. There's only so much fruit salad, yummy, yummy, and big red car that I could possibly do. I just think Bluey's for the win because it's for the adults as well.
But let us not forget that there was a moment not that long ago that Bluey was being criticised for not having sufficient diversity.
Oh. It's we've got a red and blue cattle dog. So what do we need? A dachshund and a Great Dane as well, just for, you know, mix of bodies.
I don't know, but well. Anyway, we laugh. Good
Maybe
on you.
Need a dog with three legs.
Exactly.
Look, in 1994, I finished school and I came to Schoolies on the Gold Coast, and it cost me $400 for accommodation, and I was in a room of four. I think I stayed at Tiki Village, and they're now knocking it over, right? Well, fast forward almost 30 years, and my 18-year-old son, well, he's 17 at the moment, says to me about a week ago, Dad, I've got to pay for schoolies for next year. He doesn't graduate till next year. So I'm like, okay. And he said,
the deposit or the full lot?
Well, they've got to have it paid by August the 1st, so you start making payments. And so I'm like, okay, mate.
Start making payments for
lay-by schoolies.
Mate, this is not as funny, it's not as silly as you think. I know people that are paying off every week. Like, seriously, and I'm going to tell
joking.
You why.
They've got a mortgage for schoolies.
My son is in a room, in a hotel room, and there's four beds in there, and so he's one of four. Just ballpark. Now, inflation is a great thing. Mm-hmm. How much do you
think? How many nights?
Seven nights, Sunday to Sunday. Ooh. How much do you think? Remembering I was at Tiki Village for $400.
And this is
$120 per night if you're sharing with four people, so it'd be $500-$600 a night for one room for seven nights. So $800-$900?
Yeah. I think that's $1,000. Let's call it $1,000.
Yep.
$950. And I blew up. And then I rang my sister-in-law, who's got a niece who's going as well, and she's staying somewhere else, and it's $2,200. And I'm
Holy
like, okay, well,
moly.
We might be on a cheap deal. Now, that's without the bond. Now, I only lasted 3 days at schoolies because one of my roommates decided it'd be funny to throw a TV off about the 12th floor.
You idiot.
Yeah, and so we got turfed. But I then started to question whether or not schoolies should still continue. And I know there's a lot of us on the coast here today who'd be going, you know what, Cavill Avenue is just a cesspit why this is going on. And I understand that school leavers should be celebrating, But is it really, in all seriousness, is this the greatest thing with the Gold Coast anymore?
Or is it just a massive disappointment? Because I never went to schoolie, so I've never experienced it. I just feel like I don't hear many people say, oh, greatest time of my life.
Can I, look, we were going to have a conversation about whether schoolies is good for the Gold Coast. That's the conversation we were going to have, whether it was, you know, because it spread far and wide. But can I suggest an alternative?
Go.
Something you've just said then, Dobbo, really piqued my interest. 133353. Why didn't you get the bond back? Why didn't? Because you talk about it on holidays,
I lost the rental bond.
I
lost the bond. Yeah.
What happened? I would love to hear people's stories about why they didn't get.
They
their
lost
bonds
their
back.
Bond from their
what
units.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you put a hole in the roof, the floor, the walls? How did that hole get there? Did you do a dub on throw a TV off
it? It wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was another mate of mine. It was Simon Johnson's his name, but anyway.
Elisa, imagine if they had bonds for Olympic villages.
Oh, well, a washing machine went off the edge when we were in Delhi at the Commonwealth Games.
Sorry,
because a washing machine just wobbled its way off the balcony because there was no railing.
Oh, wobbled its way off the balcony. There was definitely no funny business from those Australian
males. Not from
male
us. It was in the boxing village.
Up and about on still necks again.
Still necks or still knocks?
Still knocks. You know what I mean. I've had a bit of still knocks myself.
Right.
Lisa, we are joined in studio by a special guest who, it's the reason Dobbo's sheepish today.
No. The actual queen is here.
Oh, wow. Can I just say this now before we even get started?
Yes.
I don't want her in the studio. I don't
Why?
Like her.
What
I've never
done?
Liked her. I think when she was in Hobart, I said, stay there. I'm being honest.
We welcome in the one and only Queen of the Coast, Miss Ali Plath.
Good morning, team.
It's afternoon.
Thank you for
it's
having me.
Oh,
whatever. See, I'm used to it. Some of us have been here since 4:30 this morning. It's been a big day.
Now, before we get to the reason that Dobbo's in such a salty mood with you in particular, can we just get an update on how the tuck shops are going?
Yes, Triple M tuck shops. We've been absolutely loving this. We've been to three schools so far, Pimpama, Coomera and Gilston State School, all awesome schools on the Gold Coast. And we're teaming up with a crew called Harris Farm Markets.
Oh, mate, I know Lachlan Harris very well and
yes,
Angus
you
Harris.
Do.
They're very good boys.
Yes.
They own Harris Farms. Very, very good boys.
It is. Absolutely beautiful food. They've been providing us with fruit, veggies, yogurts, popcorn, all that stuff. It's awesome. Just helping out the mums and dads and carers and rocking up and feeding the kids in the morning and giving the mums and dads
a
free coffee.
Do they have hot pockets? That was my favourite.
What was it? A hot pocket?
Hot pocket. Oh. It's like a
pizza
pocket.
Like a little pizza pocket.
Yeah, pizza pocket.
Oh, I love that.
As somebody who...
Gone are the days of the hot pockets, Liesl.
My wife's down in Melbourne at the moment and I'm one out with my two kids and my daughter was what she calls office late, where you have to go into the office and sign them in because they're so late for school because I was taking so long to get the lunchboxes sorted this morning.
Oh, come on,
just,
mate.
I'm shocking at it. Like, how do you want your
we
sandwich,
need to unpack
mate?
That.
It's,
we need to unpack
it's a whole
that
other
shortly.
Thing.
Yeah.
But what we need to unpack right now, Ali, for those that weren't here to witness it, which is everyone except me, I had the sideline seats to this. Can you just run us through the scores when you went head to head with Dobbo on the table tennis court?
Well, look,
today?
I would do that, but I'd actually really love Dobbo to run us through the scores.
Oh, I love this.
What
can
was
I
the
just
score
explain,
of the first game?
Can I just explain a couple of things before?
Now, if he even starts
Excuse
on this,
me?
Some people
Excuse
play
me?
Every day.
Hey.
I've played twice this year.
When they start making denials and straight away, you know they're guilty. Okay. Let me just say this now. I love the game of ping pong. I always have. I haven't gone to any had any formal training, but you know what? I consider myself a ping pong expert.
Right.
Previous people who I used to be on the show with, aka Luke Bradnam, and I played every single day.
Sure.
I mean, I haven't been on the show with him for 4 years, so I think maybe twice in 4 years I've had a game. So today, Ali Plath comes up. First, she big notes herself about a golf handicap, which is questionable, and I've gone on to the Golf Australia handicap, and it's nowhere near that. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Plus two.
So then then she says, I'll challenge you to ping pong. Now, I mean, this
Actually, I didn't. He threw out the challenge. Back me up, Liam.
Liesl, Ali was big noting herself about her golf handicap.
Yeah,
which is a complete lie. It is a complete lie.
No, we knew that. I went and
You're allowed some lies in your life.
But Dobbo was the one that did throw down the table tennis gauntlet.
Yeah, she said, all right, and I'll bet you in table tennis. So, Liesl, credit where credit's due. Like, I understand that if I go and have a swimming race against Elle Jones, I'm running second. And I'm comfortable with that because you know what? I'm an Olympic champion.
Sure.
And look, if somebody was honest here, I would expect to lose to Ali Plath because She plays every day. She has the access to a court every day.
How are you saying that? Twice.
I have played twice this year.
She also said in that same conversation she had a plus two handicap.
Yeah,
so we're not taking any of that.
Nobody in this office.
The bottom line is I was beaten in two games. I was beaten. There's a question mark over the ping pong balls. I will say that now. And you even admitted that, Liam.
This is one. I'm about to take your microphone down. This is one hell of a wind up to what was a humbling defeat. First game, 21-9.
Thank you.
All hail Ali Black.
Second game where he's like, oh, it's best of three. Second game, 21-14.
How do you feel about that, Dobbo? And you should have seen him, Liesl. You know when, you know, in tennis or ping pong, someone hits the net and it dribbles over?
Yes.
Not once did he put his hand up to go, sorry about that.
Yep.
And in fact, one time he went, yeah.
That shows his sportsmanship.
You finally get the message, I don't like
you.
And Liesl, the best part is I filmed it all and you can check it all out right now on our Rush Hour Instagram
Excellent.
Page.
Oh, I love that. And let's not finish this break without mentioning that you then defeated Dobbo.
I then kicked his ass as well. So old afternoon for
Nail
our man.
Nail in the coffin.
It seems to be a common theme.
Ali Blath, a pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome back anytime.
I won't be commenting. Get out.
My most exciting time of the year is coming up and it's all about Christmas movies. I've already lined them up in all my Netflix, my Disney, all of them. They're all labelled in order of importance of when they will be watched. I cannot watch them until December 1st. That is the rule.
Well, that's your rule,
That's my rule. But you can't get into the Christmas spirit too early. Although there's a new Christmas movie coming out. And now when you think of Mistletoe Ranch, where would you think of Mistletoe Ranch would be?
Aspen.
Yes.
Oh, Montana.
Yes.
Or somewhere in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Well, Mistletoe,
that's a ranch. Sort of Aspen or, Montana would probably be a good one. How does Mount Tambourine sound?
Doesn't scream Mistletoe.
I didn't know
Ranch.
That there was mistletoe in Mount Tambourine.
Didn't know there was snow there either. Might have been a very hot Mistletoe Ranch. But that is going to be the new Christmas movie, is Mistletoe Ranch, which is filmed in Mount Tambourine. It's a tender tale of love rediscovered in a time of Christmas.
Oh,
yuck.
As the movie expert here. Surely we've run out of Christmas movie ideas. I can't remember the last good one.
Well, no. The last good one was probably about 2008. I think Elf was probably the most recent.
Cracking Christmas
Love,
movie.
Actually. That was a
when
Christmas.
Was that?
Yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago, though. The little boy in that is all grown up now.
Yeah, he's in his 30s or something. But there is a brand new one coming out. Now, this is supposed to be an absolute corker. Terrible. It's starring Lindsay Lohan and it's called Falling for Christmas.
You lost me at Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, apparently you have to watch this because it's just hysterically bad. Tells the story of a spoiled hotel heiress, Sierra Belmont, has been newly appointed as vice president of atmosphere at her father's flagship resort in Aspen, despite having no interest in the business. After she has a skiing accident and her boyfriend Tad proposes to her, she hits her head and she loses all her memory. So,
that old trope.
Yeah. I don't recommend that one.
No.
I do have a list of probably the five worst, but how about we go through the five best?
Oh, you got the five best Christmas films.
I've got the five best Christmas films.
Okay,
in my personal
this could be very debatable, Jones.
I think number one, you are 100% going to disagree with me. You are going to hate this one. But honourable mention goes to Elf. That comes in at number six.
Doesn't make your top five. Okay.
Doesn't make my top five. Number five, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, cracker.
Arnold Schwarzenegger when he has to be that, has to get the toy.
Yep.
Number four, Love Actually. Christmas movie.
Yep.
Number three, Home Alone.
Very good. This is a strong list, Liesl.
Yeah, you happy with this?
Strong.
Okay. Coming in at number two, this might be a little bit of conjecture with this one. It's called Four Holidays, also known as Four Christmases, but had to be PC and couldn't call them Four Christmases because not everyone celebrates Christmas, so now it's Four Holidays.
Mm.
Not bad.
You seen that one?
Not bad.
I
don't know that one.
I like
it's my second favourite. Okay. Number one, Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, Liesl.
What about Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation?
What a shame.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where the cat gets into the Christmas lights and then blows up the whole house.
And the relatives come and they... the pooper's full.
Well, and you're ignoring the greatest Christmas film of all time.
Which one?
Die Hard.
Yes, I agree with you. I love Die Hard, but it's not a typical Christmas movie. And if I had to get, you know, push comes to shove, that's my top six.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't make it. It makes my top 10.
Christmas with the Cranks.
Yes, number one, my favourite. Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis. It's just good stuff.
It has its Rotten Tomatoes score is 5%.
I know. And that is disgraceful.
How are we allowing Jones to give reviews and top fives when the rest of the public are absolutely deadpanning them like nothing else?
They hate it. That's why there's a lot of conjecture. It's my absolute favourite.
Can I ask this just a question without knowing. Yeah. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, because they are having a Christmas party in the building that they have.
Nakatomi Plaza.
At Christmas time, ipso facto, Christmas movie.
Right. Yep. So is that the criteria? So,
well, Love Actually fits in the same criteria because that's a Christmas-based movie.
Well, there's a Christmas concert. Yeah.
Yes, but that's about it.
Well,
and this is a Christmas party. Okay. Debate sorted.
And if you want to argue about it, 1-333-353, you can get on the phone and we'll have an argument.
I think you've got it wrong, Jones. I think you've gone rogue on your top five list, and I want the captain here to actually reprimand her and save
you. I'll debate you all day. Debate all day.
Just innocently listed her top five Christmas films.
I didn't think I was going to get any backlash from it. I genuinely believe Christmas with the Cranks is number one.
That is a
This is off the back of Mistletoe Ranch. This might make it in my top five being filmed in Mount Tambourine. Jason from Logan, what do you think about my Christmas list?
Oh, come on, Lisa. Number one for Christmas with Cranks. Listen, Dob, I've got to agree with you, mate. Hey, Die Hard's got to be right in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they made two Die Hard movies based around Christmas time. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jason. Exactly. Yeah, it's a Christmas movie. Jason said it, so it must be fact.
It was a selfish pick, Christmas with the Cranks. It really was.
It was indulgent, is what it was.
Liam, you might need to do the phones because I think yours are different to mine.
Oh, okay. We got Jack. Yeah. Jack and Gavin. G'day, Jack.
How you going?
Now, Jack, you are disagreeing with L. Jones's top five Christmas films.
Yeah, I am. I think number one, Bad Santa.
Oh, interesting. I didn't like that one.
It's a adult film for sure.
Yes, it is.
Maybe teenagers, of course. But yeah, that's a great job. For number two, I'd go with National Lampoon's.
Yeah. Oh, National number two. Okay, so Bad Santa number one and National Lampoon two.
Look at me, the expert on Christmas videos.
I know, who would have thunk it? Christmas videos.
He's got them on VHS. He puts them into his tape machine and then he presses play and record.
Trav's having a good old giggle.
Yes, I am laughing.
Give it to me.
It's not very good. I respect your list, but it's terrible. To be honest, it's terrible.
Terrible. Okay. Travis, give me a list. What do you
reckon? National Lampoon has to be in there. Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie. And, you know, I forgot about Bad Santa. How good is that film?
Yeah.
I must be the only one that doesn't like it.
I reckon it's a great film.
Okay. Maybe I need to give it another go. Who's the main star in that one?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, he's a very good actor. But
the gentleman is right. It is very much an adult film.
Yeah. Oh yes, it's very very naughty. But also, National Lampoon's Christmas was on my list, and I did actually watch it not that long ago, and watched it from start to finish, and had much more appreciation.
It's more than top ten. It's got to be in the top five.
Trav.
Top five. Okay.
I've got to give you credit. I've never seen Liesl Jones backpedal faster. Like this is.
Yes,
this is.
She said, "Oh, it's in my top ten."
It's still top ten. It's not in top five.
She's a breaststroke champion, and you've got her doing backstroke. This is amazing stuff from you, Trav. Very nicely done.
It was in my list, but I found others.
The triple header.
Cameron Smith, the golfer, has jetted into Brisbane Airport today, along with his claret jug, which he won for the 150th British Open.
Awesome.
He has just been an absolute star today. Everyone wanted selfies with him, and he was more than obliging. Now, I think probably the greatest thing about this is he's wearing a Broncos cap all the way through the airport. He's a proud Broncos supporter, and he tries to watch all the games on the NRL app where he lives in Jacksonville, Florida. So he's a huge fan. It's great to see him here. Now, his dad, Des, has been polishing the claret jug for its return back to Brisbane so that everyone can see it. Apparently, it was in quite the state before it had a nice little polish from Des. So it went in the carry-on luggage, made sure he didn't take his eyes off it. So it's great to have Cam Smith back in our beautiful state. We wish him well at the golf tournament next week, which we're going to be at.
Yeah,
PGA. It's going to be huge. Everyone's going to be out there seeing him, and he wants to break the world record for the most participants in a driving range, which sits at 1,073.
Yeah, look, there's so much to like about that. He flew domestic up from there. He flew into Sydney and domestic up. And the big thing about it is, look, in the next couple of days, he's having a few days. I know a couple of blokes that are playing golf with him on Sunday.
Oh, really? Lucky.
And he has got a little crew together that and he's a proper Broncos fan, so there's no surprise in guessing who one of them is. But he is playing golf with a few at Watima and a few of the courses around Brisbane over the next couple of days.
Okay.
He is a very humble man.
The thing that struck me most was the phrase, polishing the claret jug.
Leave it alone.
got a special polish.
Yeah.
You did.
There was no need for that.
That's what it says. It says it got a special one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good on you, Desmond. Hey, listen, Israel Folau, rumours surfacing that he's... Look, the bottom line is Israel Folau's built a house down at Redcliffe. Mm-hmm. So, of course... Everybody's linking them together. He's coming back to rugby league and he's going to be a Dolphin in 2023.
Not happening.
Not happening. Spoke to Wayne, spoke to Terry. Definitely not happening. Absolutely. All of them can rumour and speculate and say it's going to happen. It is not happening 100%. Mark it down. Not happening. Will never happen.
Okay. But we'll lock it in.
Lock it in. All it's right. Not happening.
Okay. Wait and see. And quickly, an update as Australia tackles England in the first one day of their three one-day game series. This one's happening at the Adelaide Oval. You can catch it all on the listener app, LASTNR, where Triple M's commentary team is calling this one. David Milan for England has gone at a better than a runner ball century. He's plundered 134 from 128, and he has set England up with a very nice total for Australia to chase. Australia a little bit sluggish first game with Pat Cummins in charge as the skipper.
A North Brisbane man has got the grumps with the Gold Coast Council at the moment, and fair enough, because they issued him a $287 parking fine for parking at the Coomera Indoor Sports Centre. Now, that's the one that has quite a few car parks, but not enough for a basketball tournament that he took his son to, his 13-year-old son. Now, he was one of 68 people. James Stay was one of 68 people that was fined at the centre on the day, including 22 that were pinged for parking on the grass. There were no other car parks left, and he's parked up on the curb. There is a yellow line on the road, but he's parked up on the grass, which is completely out of the way of everyone else. But he's been pinged with a fine. I think that's so unfair.
I'm going to give everybody the average of this, okay? Basketball tournament, right?
Mm.
And the council have come out and said, we've got sufficient parking for 560 vehicles,
right? That's great.
Guess how many people, ballpark, Liam, I'm going to say ballpark, how many people do you think attended this basketball tournament? Remembering there's 560 so car parks,
mm-hmm.
How many people do you think?
Well, look, let's say there's two people in each car on average.
Yeah.
Let's say 1,000 people.
7,500 people. So.
It's not going to do
7,800, in fact. It's not going to do it. For 500 car parks.
So
where do you want them to go?
The council would be aware of this number. They're aware that there's 7,800 people going to a basketball tournament on a Saturday. You bloody low life.
Lisa, how many fines did you say they handed out? How many fines did the council hand out?
There was 68.
68 fines. And what did this bloke get stung for his fine?
287.
68, 287. Oh, that's a good day out for the Gold Coast City Council.
20K.
$19,516.
Yeah.
For a walk around the Coomera Indoor Sports
But then
sports
there were people that were done. So this would have been for more 68 safety-based infringements.
Yes.
So not just parking fines, including 22. For vehicles parked on the dividing strip. I feel like that's probably double the amount.
Where are they supposed to go? It's a funny story you say that. My brother-in-law's down for futsal on the coast.
He gets fined. There's thousands of kids there. No parks, nowhere to go. They have to drop off. They're there. We go. And guess what? Old mate's out there just booking them silly. This reeks. It reeks. You want the Gold Coast to be a sporting hub. You want all these kids to be playing sport. Parents should just go, get stuffed. I'm not taking them there anymore.
No way.
And this is a part of the world that in 10 years' time is going to play a big role in the 2032 Olympic Games. You are going to have international visitors here deluxe. You're going to want more room than 560 parking spots. Because I'm just imagining the reputation that is going to be generated here if you have all these international visitors walking back to their cars and with $300 fines on the windshield.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, no, I'm pleased we brought it to the attention because the bottom line is that the council do so many wonderful things here, but this is one of it sucks.
Yeah.
And I mean that genuinely. Mm. It is. And I don't want to go down the AM path, but you know what? Shame. Shame, shame, shame.
Shame on you, Gold Coast City Council.
Liesl, favourite term for speedos? What's your you were surrounded by them for most of your career. What was your favourite term?
A bit
term
of a dick sticker or maybe a bit of a banana hammock.
Yes, Dobbo? Mm.
I don't mind a budgie, dick togs. I used to call them dick togs.
Yeah. Lolly bags. Lolly bags was the other one we used to roll with.
Lolly bags.
Yeah, put the lolly bags on.
Yeah, I'm proud to wear them. I love them.
Well, there is a bunch of blokes this weekend and women who are even going to be more proud to wear them because this Saturday at North Burley Lookout, it is the annual budgie run. This is where everybody jumps into their budgie smugglers, dick togs, lolly bags, whatever you want to call them.
Puts a budgie on their shoulder.
There you go. And they run laps of the North Burley Lookout, the hill there, to raise money for Movember. We're obviously in the thick of it at the moment. And the man behind this fantastic initiative joins us on the line, the one and only Matty Palmer. G'day, Matty.
G'day, guys. How are we going?
All right, mate. This is a pretty big event. I mean, I understand that, and the awareness and the cause is quite unbelievable. But surely you could have found some flat track along Burley along the beach rather than take it on that hill.
I didn't really think it through, did I? I think I thought about what it looks like halfway through a lap and getting up the top and looking over the Gold Coast skyline there, and it's actually a pretty nice view. So halfway views is probably where we got there.
Are you concerned at all about chub rub or anything like that, about the legs rubbing together? Have you got a solution for that, maybe a bit of something you could put on there?
Lisa, there is more than one concern I can tell you. There's no worse feeling for guys who don't do it every day, like swimmers and whatnot, no worse feeling than taking your clothes off in the middle of the park and facing your peers and whatnot. So there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of good anxiety and laughs in the air, that's for sure. And but yeah, definitely, we only go for 30 minutes, so the 3B doesn't come out, but the 4-4 comes out a little bit later.
4-4 is a very, very good solution, I can tell you that now. I've been there. It works wonders.
But you're right. It is that you have to have that right atmosphere out there, Matty, because it's a humbling for some people to get out there in the budgie smugglers and embrace it. And particularly, I know when I'm trying to run hills, inevitably I find myself in the position of bending over and putting my hands on my knees. And if I'm just in budgie smugglers, that is a humbling moment.
Yeah, listen, there's all sorts of views, and that's why we've hired as many cameras and videographers as we can for the weekend, so we can highlight that. But no, it's definitely probably the most vulnerable I feel throughout a year, and I think the gratitude that you probably feel after you go through those moments, you get a little bit out of your comfort zone with your peers and your mates, it's a pretty special feeling.
It's so important raising money for men's, not only mental health, but physical health as well. I guess it gets a bit hard too when you're thinking up new ways to do things because a lot of stuff has been done and Movember is obviously very popular. But now you've got to think up new ways and I guess this is a very punishing way to do that.
Yeah, it really is. And we're lucky enough that being a part of the Gold Coast community, there's all sorts of new wonderful and wild things happening all the time. And we are in our fourth event, in our fourth year now, so we are, you know, really happy with the community that we've been able to connect over time. So it's also somewhere we want to drop the barriers and drop the allegiances to gyms or clubs or different communities and just all celebrate for the for the Movember brand.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm committing to this. I'm going to be there Saturday morning. I'm going to break out the budgie smugglers, and I'm going to jog around that beautiful part of the world for 30 minutes or so, Dob.
See, I look at you and say, that's self-indulgent, Liam. You just want to get your rig out. No, like, I wouldn't do it. I'd donate the money.
Have you seen the bloke who started this with Matty, Anthony Bartolo? Matty, he's a bloke that should get around in budgie smugglers all the time.
He's a colossus.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't make it that easy when I've got Bart and then Ali Day on my other side as well. So, eight-time Coolangatta Gold champion, I feel slightly insecure, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's well worth it.
I'll come run next year. That'll make you feel better. Trust me, buddy. The Budgie Run, it is this Saturday, North Burley Lookout. 6:30 kickoff, Matty?
Yeah, 6:30 kickoff. Don't be afraid to come at 6:10 and take all your clothes off.
Yeah, there we go. Be there 6:10. Get your clothes off. Support a fantastic cause, raising money for Movember as well. Matty Palmer, a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
James, you should have seen it earlier. When Liam rolled in here this afternoon, it was like a beaten man. He was
a bit flustered. Yeah,
mate, flustered, disheveled, tired.
Down in the dumps.
And this is all because, for the first time in a long time, he's having to be a parent on his own. Like, he's actually having to parent his kids. Alana's away for a couple of days. And old mate here, he's got sole custody and sole duties. And you would not believe. You'd think it.
Sounds like he failed.
Poor Quinn. You remember the little kid that goes late to school and they have to sign them in because they've missed their...
And they've got mismatched shoes on.
Wrong socks. I forgot my lunch. I forgot everything. A hair's like a bird's nest. Yeah, that's what's happening in the Flanagan household at this week's
week. That is spot on, Dobbo. Spot on. Alana has gone down to Melbourne for a couple of nights. And she's been... I walked around this morning when I woke up. She has written, there's like just notes around.
Post-its.
Saying,
remember.
Gym clothes are in the bag. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she does gymnastics on a Thursday, doesn't she? The reality is, and look, this isn't my best parenting, as I say this on live radio. I'm not sure who's picking my kids up from kindy and school.
She'll be at after school care.
My six-year-old's capable of probably looking after herself. My two-year-old at kindy, I don't know. I think my brother-in-law's getting them. And maybe my the grandparents are helping out. I think I'm not sure who's picking up my kids today.
Could we unpack the fact that maybe Quinn's lunch was a struggle? Can we just unpack how you went about the lunch this morning?
It was a failure. It was an out-and-out failure, the lunch box. And I showed it to her. I said, hey, do you want, because she also has this thing called Munch and Crunch, which is the afternoon tea.
Delish, yeah.
And I was chopped up some pear and I chopped up those little cucumbers you gave me the other day, Jones.
Yes, the cukes.
They were great and she loved all
good
that.
Good choice.
And then I threw some crackers in and I showed her the Munch and Crunch and she said, Dad, you can't put crackers in Munch and Crunch. And I'm like, okay. So I took I don't know. I said, don't they go crunch?
There's rules around Munch and Crunch.
I said, don't they go crunch? She's like, it's only fruit and veg. I'm like, okay. I took the crackers out. And then I put them in the lunchbox and then I said, what do you want on your sandwich? She said, peanut butter. And then I started doing it. She said, the smooth kind. And I was like, okay, well, I'll start that again because I'd use the crunchy kind. So sandwich was a fail. And then eventually I showed it to her. I said, what do you, you know, it was like I was displaying it as a master chef and I brought it up and she Matt Prestoned it and took a big old bite and then
took
said,
the cloche off.
Told me to take the muesli bar out. Said she didn't want that in there. And then when I put it in her bag and I tell her to do her checks before we go off to school, she came and said, Dad, my lunchbox goes in its case before it goes in my bag. And all this was happening. Yeah, I know, she's a bit precious. Anyway, the lunchbox eventually got there. But then, as you say, Dobbo, the embarrassing part was I was running incredibly late. I got Mac to his kindy, but by the time I got Quinn to school, we had the humiliation of having to walk
was
in.
Was she upset?
She was so disappointed me
so embarrassed.
Not only did I have to sign her into the office, but then when I walked her to her class had already left the classroom because they had PE as the first lesson.
No, that's so embarrassing.
How have you run late to this? Like, seriously.
Have you ever?
Yes.
The M1, my two options to get my daughter to school every morning are the M1 between Currumbin and Burley, which is a nightmare, or tackle the bloody Gold Coast Highway. It's rocking a hard place.
Is this the first time you've ever done this?
Well, no, but the thing is, I'm normally awesome at the drop-off because Alana looks after all the other stuff.
Get up half an hour earlier, mate. Get up. get up half an hour earlier and get it done. Seriously.
I'm just the wheel man.
You had a sleep in this morning. Admit it. You've run late from the get-go. And
pull
your
the clothes
daughter.
Out the night before. Yeah. Put the shoes and the socks out.
That was already done for
lunches
me.
Get done the night before Liam. In my camp. Lunches always get done the night before. They're in the fridge ready to go. They have to take them and go. That's it.
Here's the great thing, guys. I get another crack at this tomorrow. Yeah. Alana's away till tomorrow night, so I will get a chance to redeem myself.
If you don't get
tomorrow.
It right tomorrow, childhood services will be at your door.
Docs.
Docs, yeah.
I promise we're fine. Today, we also need to have a bit of a conversation, Dolbo, about the Pro-Am.
Well, this is an interesting one, Liam, because you and I are taking two teams with two of our listeners in each team and obviously a professional.
Sure.
Next Wednesday morning to take on in the Pro-Am. The PGA is obviously a huge championship, and to play in the Pro-Am at a championship golf course, we're very lucky.
Unbelievable.
But how we go about our selection has really been a bone of contention. And Jones, who is a very neutral, very fair, very honest, very upstanding citizen. Yes, she is. She is going to give us some guidance. Now, I would have thought when the nominations came in that we need to look for the all-round person, not only brilliant at golf, but, you know, I'm sort of mid-range golfer, but a wonderful person.
Do we want to win?
Well, let's be realistic. Liam and I aren't going to win the competition.
I don't think we're in with a shot to win the Pro-Am.
So we're not competitive in that way. So we want someone that we can tolerate and actually have a good day with them.
Which is why Dobbo and I aren't playing in the same team.
Yes.
But are you not?
I'm not even going to react. You know what you've done today? Look. You've upset me from the get-go all over the ping-pong.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Liesl, can I just read you some of the nominees that have come through for Team Liam? When these are, we've been inundated on the Triple M win page.
I think I can pick what kind of person picked your team, Liam.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm. I like this. There's an option here from Dave. Dave says, I play a bit. Very happy to provide advice to anyone on the other team that won't help and will bring plenty of banter.
Like banter.
I like that. Gary listens to the Rush Hour daily, capable golfer with a steady putter and good team player. In addition, it would be an amazing experience.
A steady putter is good.
Mm. I think he's sucking up a little bit with the listen to the Rush Hour
daily. Yes, that was slathering it on thick.
But this is, Lisa, I'm going to find it hard to go past this bloke. Anthony Walsh, Walshy. Very simple. I piss excellence and on the fairway, stay out of my way or you'll pay. Listen to what I say. Nice little quote thrown in there.
Or you want to eat some hay. That's what Happy used to say. Maybe and stay.
Lay by the bay.
And g'day. Right? Yeah. G'day, g'day.
He's thrown a bit of a quote from Happy Gilmore in there. Now, he hasn't said anything about his ability to play golf.
But he'll provide the laughs.
Yeah, I'm just, it's a long 18 holes if you're just relying on somebody for laughs. That's
true.
My concern with what
you want to be up there. You don't want to be last. Oh, you don't want to be wooden spooners.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm going about a different. I've got a lovely lady by the name of Michelle Burkett, who every team needs a girl on board. Pick me. I can hit a decent ball and I can sledge.
Ooh.
Oh, I love a sledge.
Yeah. I have got some other people. I'm from Ipswich. I had a hole in one. I've won club tournaments. I love golf and I love Triple M. Yeah, not bad. I have a solid all-round game. I practice twice a week and I don't crash under pressure. Fairways and greens, baby.
And I also like that fella's included a golf emoji in his entry.
Yeah. What about the guy over the road, Ben? I'm a scratch golfer. I hit a ball really long way. I also play at RQ a lot, so I know great course knowledge.
Oh, why didn't I get him?
Yes. Yeah. So I've got some big decisions.
Doesn't say anything about banter, though.
That's why I'm thinking the girl, because she wants to sledge.
Yeah, love a bit of sledging.
Can I be completely frank with both of you? I've already decided on one of my players.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Is he a scratch golfer?
Why did you ask her opinion?
Is he a scratch golfer?
I've already decided on one of them. let me just read you his bio. Ex-PGA trainee, club champion and junior champion at Redcliffe, been off a plus handicap for the better half of 10 years.
Oh.
It's fair to say he's coming in my team.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Fair enough. What if he lied?
What a nuffy. Why would he even enter one of this? Boring. You're boring, mate. I wouldn't select you if you're on my team. That's why you went
boring,
with Liam.
But you're going to be on Team Liam next week, I think. Look, I've got the weekend to mull these over, but who knows? L. Jones could turn up at the masterclass and show a clean pair of heels and then...
I doubt that.
but Dobbo, we've got the weekend to think about our team. next Monday, we will be telling people who joins us in this.
Brian, I can't wait for this. This will be something very special. So looking forward to that completely.
Yeah. All right. We've got to get out of here. Tomorrow on the show, our final player in our greatest Queensland side of all time is announced. It's a very special one. Make sure you stick around for that one. Liesl Jones.
Good evening. Good night.
Dobbo.
Farewell, my neighbours.
We'll see you tomorrow at 4.